Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hi everybody.
Hello, all the ones.
Hi, my name is David Bell.
I am Tom Ryman.
And we just watched The Intruder?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
We sure did.
Fuck
the,
it.
The 3 or 4 month old Dennis Quaid thriller.
Because we can.
You're not going to believe this. Charlie is outside cutting the grass.
What?
Did you just get this out of the garage?
That's right, keep it. Something is really off with that guy.
Hey, Scott.
Hello.
Hey, stop drilling holes in my house.
It's not your house.
Yeah, you know what? We took a look at what was out in theaters this week and really didn't care to see anything.
Yeah, I mean, The Boys and...
Good Boys.
Good Boys, just... I that looks fine, but like... We're doing like a marathon weekend of podcast recording. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those where it's like, if I had the entire weekend, I'd maybe go out and see that fucking movie if I had to. And then Where'd You Go, Bernadette is another one where it's like, yeah, that's a Richard Linklater. But those are movies that are just destined to watch on streaming.
Also Where'd You Go, Bernadette's getting like a 17%.
Yeah, that makes me want to watch it even more. But, they're very much streaming movies, not unlike The Intruder. Yeah. But yeah, we made the decision to do something.
Right. Yeah, there was also the Shark movie. There's the Bruce Springsteen movie that I actually want to see, but it's...
What the hell is that? I don't even know about that.
Blinded by the Light.
It's about Bruce Springsteen?
No, it's about this Indian kid who is growing up in England, and he just falls in love with Bruce Springsteen's music.
That looks super interesting. Oh yeah, we could have done
that. It's supposed to be really good. Yeah, we could have seen that.
Yeah,
but like,
I don't know. I also saw. I looked online. There was The Night Sitter is out, so I was like, oh, maybe we should do that. But then The Intruder just popped out at us.
Which one was The Night Sitter?
We did add a movie that deserves more hype. It's just like it looks kind of fun. It's like a horror. It's like three witches terrorize
right
a babysitter. Yeah,
hell yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna watch that later.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Maybe
I got a lot.
My
time
hasn't been my own in months.
Yeah, I got a lot. Watch wise, I got wrapped up in The Handmaid's Tale. Then we got Mindhunter, and then fucking Harmon Quest is out season 3.
I can wait on Harmon Quest, honestly.
You know what? They do, man, we're so not talking about The Intruder, but they roll them out like old mm-hmm. people used to, old television.
Yeah.
And it's funny how that is because they're like 20-minute episodes, 30-minute episodes. I can't just watch one a week of that. So, yeah, I'm kind of waiting just so I can marathon the shit out of Harmon Quest.
Also, the VRV app is a big pile of flaming trash.
Yes, so, I remember it being awful.
Yeah, it's a terrible app. It doesn't have captions.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I was gonna say, I wonder if it's somehow available on Amazon. Someone get back to us about that. Tom, how did you like The Intruder?
I liked it okay.
Yeah, I felt it's the perfect rounded thriller.
It's a very okay thriller. It feels reminiscent from the 90s. It's a very okay thriller with one really great performance in it.
Well, yeah, it's the friend, right? The smoking friend.
Yeah, fucking, the smoking friend.
Award-winning. No,
Dennis Quaid's amazing.
Dennis Quaid is so good in this movie. Yeah. Because he's basically like, he looked at movies like The Shining and Cape Fear.
There's homages to both those films.
Yeah, and it was clear that he was trying to do that. And I think the thing that this movie has going against it is I wish it had more talent behind the camera. Like, it doesn't, I don't know who did it.
I looked it up because I was curious. I believe he's a music video director.
Okay, I'm not knocking him. Like, he does a fine job.
It's weird. There's a couple of stuff that I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And there's some other stuff where I was like, oh, that's pretty amateurish.
Yeah, I think if this was written better, like, he deserves a better film around his performance.
Yes. Sure.
He deserves to be, like, this deserved to be in a Kubrick film or a Scorsese film or whoever did the original Cape Fear. Mm-hmm. It's he's so creepy.
Yeah.
Overtly so.
Sort of. It's a slow burn.
It isn't. Yes, it is and it isn't. I love the husband and wife. Guys, this is about a husband and wife who move from the big city to Napa Valley to buy a house, and they buy it from Dennis Quaid. And he's like very neurotic about it and careful about the house.
To buy a $3.5 million mansion in Napa Valley. It's a real slice of life movie, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah. Really relatable stuff.
It's one of the reasons I didn't want to go see Where'd You Go, Bernadette. I'm like, yeah, this is really relatable.
Right. Well, it's also that it's that bummer realization. And like, I guess, you know, it's the Napa Valley thing too, because that house is like not much bigger, if not the same size as the house I grew up in.
A pretty big house.
Yeah, I guess it is deceptively big. What's the name? What does he call the name? Foxglove. I think I need in my life someday to have a piece of property that I can name.
That has a name?
Yeah, like I've lived in apartments that have like dumb names, but I want like a manor like that.
Yeah.
Even if I have to, hide out in the basement.
Deal with a Dennis Quaid. You got a Dennis Quaid infestation. Like, I want to see an exterminator come in and be like, well, here's your problem.
You got Quaid.
You got Quaids in the wall.
We're getting to spoilers, but...
A little bit.
All right. In terms of spoilers, I don't think anybody needs to watch this movie. I think some people would enjoy watching this movie.
This could be a fun, like, I don't know. I don't want to say this could be a fun movie to watch with friends or like, because it's like a decent thriller, but like,
I disagree. I think this is a good movie to watch when you've just had a long, stupid day and you just want to watch some thoughtless bullshit. And like eat ice cream. Like, it's that kind of...
Yeah,
it's a 90s thriller.
Yeah, it's interesting enough to keep your attention for its runtime. Like we said, it's got a pretty good performance. It's a decent thriller where, like, it is genuinely uncomfortable in several scenes.
Yeah. And again, Dennis Quaid is fucking killing it.
He's great.
But yeah, well, basically...
The scene where he's practicing his smile in a mirror.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, basically he's like a friendly old harmless man at first. The husband immediately is like has psychopath alarms go off in his brain. I love this dynamic because it's both of the actors are fine. They're great. But they're not given, their characters aren't given enough depth. So one of them's like workaholic cheater.
Yeah.
Who's immediately hateful and paranoid about Dennis Quaid. The other one is just like, I think he's sweet. Even when it's like, way too far along to think that.
Yeah.
Like, Dennis Quaid has to, like, basically confess to being insane for her to be like,
before
you know
she
what?
Buys it. Yeah.
I've changed my mind.
Yeah, that's my main complaint about this movie is, like, with the exception of the wife, she's the only likable character.
Yes.
Like watching that, like, the husband fucking sucks.
Well, his friend
fucking sucks. Like, I was watching the movie, I was like, I want Dennis Quaid to murder them.
Yeah, this was, well, I really liked the wife. She was charismatic.
I liked the wife, yeah.
And I feel like they almost did it 50-50 of both the husband and wife being main characters, but it still felt a little from the perspective, for the sole reason that the husband's the one who knows what's happening before her. Mm-hmm. So I wish that was like flipped or something. Like, I wish she was the main character because she pretty much is, but I for some reason it felt like for example the whole thing where the husband well again it's 50-50 because like the husband has a history of cheating and they do a thing where he goes out on a work thing and this lady takes him to a bar and he like gets real close to cheating and they keep showing her at home
more than once. He gets real close to cheating.
Yeah, I would have almost liked all of that from her perspective way more, because it's just the added layer of like just everything's against her, like added layer of tension if she can't feel like she trusts the husband.
And there's an element in there where she says, like, you know, she grew up in the country and she's not really into like the city lifestyle, so it's like that would explore that angle more, where she's like more open to like Dennis Quaid just continuously stopping by the house. She's like, well, because I like this and I like this kind of guy and I like this kind of community. Right. I don't like the big city stuff.
Right. That's basically the story. Dennis Quaid keeps showing up and they can't get rid of him, and then he gets crazier and crazier. He kills one of their friends with an axe. Very much the Shining style.
Yeah.
That's pretty much, Scatman Crothers getting murdered.
Except this guy blows. I hate this guy.
Again, everybody sucks.
I hated the husband.
Yeah, because they do that thing where they like mock him.
Yeah.
And he's not that bad. He's like immediately nice and stuff. And then they're just like, oh, this guy's such, look at this old guy. Look at his stupid house.
Like
they're mocking his decorations. And it's that where it's like, what the fuck, man? Like, you're immediately a jerk.
I was just going to say, it's a fault of the writer because, like, we kind of have no choice but to be on his side because we understand that this is a thriller and we know that Dennis Quaid is the bad guy going into this. So it's like the husband's already read the screenplay, so he knows Dennis Quaid is a bad guy. But like on its face, he's done nothing but be nice and welcoming. And like for some reason, the fact like that the husband keeps calling him Bambi killer, I'm like, shut the fuck up, you limp noodle. Like, what?
Yeah, that was weird. Like, because they were like,
that's his like big complaint about him for like the first 25 minutes. Like, he killed a defenseless deer. I'm like, deers are pests with no natural predators.
Yeah, they're gross animals. I will say he killed a deer. That's fine. He does it like a maniac.
He kills a deer like a maniac.
Dennis Quaid's intro in this is, I think they see a deer and they're like, oh, look, a deer. And the deer gets shot. And then Dennis Quaid comes running out of the woods with psycho eyes and just murders the deer point blank with his gun.
It is not how you kill a deer.
Yeah. And everybody's just like, ah!
Yeah.
And he has to like apologize.
Yeah, it's like, oh, sorry for blowing that deer away right in front of your faces.
Yeah.
I mean, and then he later explains that there's a bounty on the deer. So it kind of, because he shoots it through a neck and then shoots it in the face.
Right.
And if you're hunting deer, you don't shoot it in the face,
right? Well, they're doing they're doing the dynamic. It's the stalker dynamic. It's the cable guy dynamic, where what they're doing is they keep having him go right to the edge and then turn into a normal person and like recognize it with, oh, sorry, that was crazy. And I understand why they're doing that. It's just, and again, Dennis Quaid does a good job with it, but I'm also kind of sick of that trope.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because, like, I'd rather it be just, like, he's not, he doesn't, because they do things where they show him fantasizing, like, hurting people, and it's like, leave that out, just make him nice. Like, make me doubt the husband. Like, make me watch this movie and think, oh, maybe it is a twist after all, and he's
not. That would have been more interesting, and then that would have made the, because... We meet Dennis Quaid's character, and he mentions that he's selling the house because his kids have moved out and his wife passed away a few years ago from cancer.
Right.
And he's just like, I can't maintain this house anymore. So, but he kind of doesn't want to let it go because it's like he lived there his whole life with his family, and it's like it's kind of all he has left. So he's really clinging to it. So if you left out the stuff where he's like fantasizing about smashing a wine bottle over the irritating friend's head.
Right.
Or the stuff where they show us, the audience, Dennis Quaid lurking in the darkness, stuck just in the background, spying on them. Like,
those
They were well done.
But, yeah.
But if they took that out and only left in the stuff where, like, the husband thinks he sees Dennis Quaid.
Right.
And then, just leave in the scene where he's, like, practicing his smile in the mirror. Like, because that could mean anything. That could mean, like, he's really having a hard time and he's trying to just be normal.
Yeah, you could go into some in some interesting directions with this.
Yeah.
I love when he thinks he sees Dennis Quaid's house. It reminded me of the South Park joke where it's, I saw Tony Danza. It's like getting up at night, creeping around your house, and, oh, it's Dennis Quaid.
It's Dennis Quaid.
He's in the darkness.
It's
very standard thriller.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just like, this guy seems weird. Spoilers, he is.
He is weird, yeah.
Like, you know what, a movie, and I've only watched this movie once, I need to revisit it, that I kept thinking of was The Gift. Not the Giovanni Ribisi classic I don't know why I honed in on Giovanni.
Singled out Giovanni. He's like a minor character.
Well, you know, it's his film. no, but the one with the guys.
The one with
the guy with the face.
Jason Bateman and
the guy with the face.
Oh gosh, Joel Edgerton.
Joel Edgerton. Yeah, that's the guy with the face. Yeah, where it's like Jason Bateman, you think you kind of know what it's going to be, and then they do enough to make you, like, you end up hating Jason Bateman, too.
Right,
but then
he's a full-on prick.
Yeah, but then you end up really hating Joel Edgerton. And, and they do, but they do it in a way where, like, at first, like, it sort of creeps up on you, the realization that Jason Bateman is also, like, a sociopath.
Right, like, he's hiding something.
Yeah, and that was a good movie for that because it's creepy and it just works. So like this one, the husband's just immediately a prick.
Yeah, and
a prick in
a
really like
film.
Weird, naive way. Yeah, the Bambi killer thing. Like it's just he's like a bully. Like they bully him. And then he does all the wrong things. And like at the bar, he's just a prick to him. And like they don't handle it well. The reveal, of course, is that there was no good way to handle it. Because, guys, the reveal is that Dennis Quaid this whole time has been sleeping in their basement.
Right. There's a secret door behind the linen closet, which was it was actually kind of a good reveal.
I really liked it because he talked about the linen closet like once.
And then there was a few times where he heard a noise and would go out. And they just kind of walked past the linen closet and one of its little wing doors would be open.
Oh, yeah, you're right. She like shuts it.
So if you go back and watch it a second time, you'll probably be like, oh, fuck, it was right there in front of me the whole time. I didn't realize it.
Yeah, and it's like a creepy reveal that he's been just in there
the whole
time.
It's honestly not a bad reveal.
Yeah, and they show that he says he's at a hotel, and there's a shot where he's on a bed in a dark room.
And you assume it's the hotel.
Yeah, and it looks enough like the hotel, but it looks enough like anywhere. Yeah, it works really well.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird that they later go to the hotel and they see him eating at the hotel, which mm-hmm. means that was just a weird coincidence because it means that he left.
It means he followed them.
Oh, you're right. It
means
does.
He followed them into town.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Not a coincidence. That's a stalker coincidence.
And
is
also.
What that is.
In addition to like, you know, when they would hear noises and the little wing of the linen closet would be there, like anytime Dennis Quaid shows up, he's always at the shed.
Yeah, you're right. He's or he's already at the house doing stuff. Yeah, he's like mowing the lawn the first time and he's like, you know, like I got it out of the shed or something like that. Like,
all right, yeah. He either mentions the shed, or they see him standing in front of the shed, or just in the door of the shed, and that's because the tunnel in the house leads out to the shed.
Yeah, it's a good
not bad.
Yeah, it's a good device. Like they have some things going for them.
Yeah,
They got Crazy Quaid.
Got a real solid Crazy Quaid.
Yeah, he's doing real good. He's channeling his brother.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember if Randy's his brother or his cousin.
Brother. I looked it up today.
Oh, wow.
I don't remember why I was looking it up, but I wanted to know. You know he was married to Meg Ryan?
Yes, I do.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird.
Do you know who broke them up?
Oh, no. Who?
Russell Crowe.
Oh, Russell.
Russell Crowe. It was that
the
movie
fuck?
Proof of Life. Over the, during that movie,
man.
Proof of Life.
Russell. Yeah. I would have stuck with Quaid.
Quaid seems Quaid.
Like the family reunions, family events, Thanksgiving, probably awkward.
Oh yeah.
But in general, Quaid's just he's there for you, just like he is as an actor. Like Quaid has never let me down. He's always there.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be there long after I die. He's just will roam the earth.
Just living in your basement, living in your walls.
Doing pretty good movies. That's what he does. He does pretty good movies.
Yeah.
Has he ever done an amazing movie?
Inner Space.
All right. I'll give him Inner Space.
Jaws 3D.
Yeah. Jaws 3D is pretty great. He's always like he's a weird position because he feels like a superstar to me.
Mm-hmm.
But has he ever been in a movie where he was, like, he never had a big hit, did he?
I don't know.
Day After Tomorrow?
I think Inner Space.
So it's just inner space, and then from there we've just allowed him to be in movies. Again, he's a great actor, in the sense that he gets the job done.
He does, yeah.
And in this movie, he goes above and beyond. No one needed him to do this.
No, and like when the wife, Annie, finds the secret door and is creeping along the tunnels, and it's pretty creepy. It's like skin crawly. And she comes out in the shed and sees him like fixing himself in the car window, and he looks over and spots her. Like he shouts like no, and it's like it's
so creepy.
It's creep. Like his voice is so crazy.
Yeah, he runs towards her immediately, like a dog who spotted a squirrel.
Yeah,
and like a lot of that
creepy.
When he like is hanging from the ceiling and jumps on the husband.
Yeah,
and like he's got crazy eyes and like and then the part where he knocks her out and he's licking her.
Quaid. God,
he's proper creepy.
Yeah, he's like, great.
Yeah, they really make him creepy. Oh man, what a performance by Quaid.
Yeah, solid performance.
Did we ever figure out, because I know you texted me about this, what the husband does for a living?
Is it with an advertising firm?
Oh, okay. Because it is very generic business.
Right. The first scene of the movie is like his dickhead friend driving him to like a surprise party, and they get in there and it's like, you closed the deal. Congratulations. He's now the top earner at the company. And for a while, that's all
dollars.
We know about what he does.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm the top earner at the company.
Yeah. Then he uses his like company ties to look into Dennis Quaid.
Yeah, he
and
does.
They learn that, they learn through like someone in town that his wife didn't die of cancer, but she shot herself with a shotgun.
Mm.
And then he contacts the daughter, because the whole thing is him saying like, yeah, I'm going to go
see live
my,
with
daughter.
My daughter in Florida.
Yep. And then that keeps getting delayed. And again, they just, like, the wife is just sort of just like, oh, whatever. And it's like, I mean, it's been like, it feels like months, like, at this point.
At least a month, because they invite him to Thanksgiving,
right,
like, that first week. And then, like, the rest of the movie takes place, like, on or around Christmas.
Right.
So it's been, like, a month.
Yeah.
And he's still hanging around.
And again, he's just showing up at their house all the time.
Yes.
Like, and she, again, she's just like, yeah, I don't mind. And she, like, he does stuff like he brings her a pizza. And then she's like, and like, he starts to leave. And this after she's like, recognized that he's dangerous and also might have hit her husband with his car.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, why don't you come in and share this with me? And it's like, what are you doing? Why are you letting Dennis Quaid into your house at this point?
Well, she hasn't learned that yet.
Oh, she hasn't learned that he hit her.
She doesn't learn that until after that.
I thought her husband had already implicated him.
Not with her.
Oh, okay.
He calls his terrible friend because he's a stupid piece of shit and
doesn't call
his wife.
Yeah. But at that point, he keeps continuously saying, like, I don't want him around. I think he's weird. Like, she knows that her husband is not into it.
Right, but he's also being a huge prick, remember?
Right. Yeah, yeah. So it's her way of like getting
like
back at him
to her and to Dennis Quaid.
Right.
So it's like he's just being like, I hate him so much.
Yeah.
When Dennis Quaid throws him over the railing, I was like, yes,
get him, Quaid. Get him.
I really wanted the husband to get killed. I hated him so much.
Right. Well, his arc.
arc is that he learns to kill a man.
Yep. He learns to shoot somebody.
Yeah. After being like I'm super pro gun control, but this guy is such a douchebag about
like,
Dennis Quaid owning hunting rifles in the country.
Yeah, like he's like a straw man gun control.
Yeah,
type,
yeah, he's like
where it's like really like come on, it's hunting rifles in the country,
in the
like,
country.
It's like, it's the oh, it's like exactly the proper way to use guns,
right? Like the
and like
man
even Dennis
owns...
Quaid, like
go ahead.
Well, when he like when his friend is on the property and he chases him, like obviously he's gonna kill the friend, but he brings up a good point where he's like, I could have shot you, man. We're in the country, like that. You're sneaking up on this house, like
yeah.
Like, he does such a good job at, like, seeming like he's concerned.
Right, seeming like he's normal.
Yeah, and then he chops him with an axe.
Yeah,
but
and then he kills him with an axe.
He still brought
up
a good point.
Right, like, he owns, like, 2 acres on the edge of a forest in Napa Valley. It's like, yeah, he's gonna have some hunting rifles.
Yeah.
If the very least is, like, just the deer.
Right. They put in the arc that his brother was killed, which I get that. That's fine. But it's his attitude is like, again, and I think it's maybe in the writing where it's like they couldn't really convey that fear because like they still make him an asshole. Like if they made it so that he was just like very clearly uncomfortable around the gun.
Right. Because he's not bitch. Like they don't have him bitch about the guns. Like I mentioned at the top of the episode, the thing he's bitching about for the first 20 minutes is that Dennis Quaid shot a deer.
Right.
Like, he's not complaining that Dennis Quaid owns guns. He keeps saying Bambi killer. It's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
It's a deer.
Yeah. Like, it's hunting.
Well, and it's and even beyond hunting, it's like, yeah, we killed all the wolves. Deer don't have any predators anymore.
Right.
And like
and
their
again,
populations
garbage animals.
Do get out of they are kind of pests. Like,
yeah, they're big rats.
Yeah, if you live in rural areas, deer are a problem. And
yeah,
I have
almost collided with a deer many of times.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not fun. They
so
aren't fun.
Like,
they're dumb animals.
Yeah, so it's like the fourth time he calls him Bambi killer. I'm like, grow up, man.
Yeah, like, well, again, it's just so it's so weird.
Yeah,
it's like
it's
such
like,
a weird thing to glom onto. Because again, if he was just like, I'm not comfortable around guns,
right? Just
from
have
the
him,
start,
like, just have him be like, I don't like how casually he has the guns. I don't like that he fired the gun near us while he was killing the deer. We were too close to that deer. Like that, I would have been like, I get that.
Yeah, they sort of do it later.
Yeah, they do
like,
it later.
Yeah.
After it's, they made us hate him for being just like this
him and his friend are
man
both
child
pricks.
About it.
Yeah.
Yeah, him and his terrible friend. God.
Yeah, I did. The ending wasn't satisfying for kind of that reason. However, I did like it in terms of a thriller ending.
Yeah.
Because they basically have Dennis Quaid. It is dark. They have Dennis Quaid and they just have him at gunpoint and everything's secure. And she calls the police and she says, hi, 911, my husband just shot an intruder.
Yeah.
And then she looks to her husband and he blows Dennis Quaid away.
Right.
And it was like, holy shit.
Right. It's a good thriller ending. But after this arc they gave the husband, it is so unearned. Like, he doesn't even like shake or pause. He's just like, now it's time, and blows Dennis Quaid away.
Right.
After bitching about guns the whole movie and specifically about using guns to kill people, it's just like, wow, this was strange.
Yeah, well, he really turned around on gun control.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what the movie was trying to say.
I don't know.
I don't know if the movie was trying to be pro-gun because it didn't feel pro-gun.
No, not at all.
It was just kind of a weird... Again, that's a cool moment for
an
ending.
Thriller moment, yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like...
Because it's like, well, fuck this guy. Like,
yeah, at that point.
But, like, also, he had just, like, fractured Dennis Quaid's face with a baseball bat. So
right,
it's
they
like,
have
well,
him. They got him.
He's down. Like, you took care of him.
I think it would have worked better for, like... It's hard because Dennis Quaid is a fucking monster in this.
He is, but, like...
But he plays it like a mental illness.
It absolutely is.
As opposed to, like, Cape Fear, where he's a predator.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's not just this person, he's trying to ruin this person's life, and he's not going away. And in this one, it's sort of the same thing, but it does feel like once you get him into custody, like he'd just be put away and go to maybe a facility for people with, you know, dangerous people with mental health issues or whatever. At the same time, he did murder his wife.
Yeah,
and
probably,
that was premeditated murder.
Oh,
so
sure.
I guess he it's hard to have that excuse because the idea is it reveals that his wife was going to take the house and divorce him.
Right. It's still like
it's unclear show him putting the gun in her mouth and she's not moving. And I couldn't tell if
seems
she was like
comatose.
Yeah. Like is there a cut scene where he like drugged her or something?
No. I don't know. Maybe
it was a weird sequence.
It's also weird to just to have your like particularly after he spent 20 minutes bitching about Dennis Quaid killing a defenseless deer. It's like, well, you just killed a defenseless man at the end of the film.
The
like,
should have been him not shooting him,
right? Because it's that's a very weird thing that this movie did.
I think they just knew that was a cool ending. And they're like, we got to do that. But I mean, I've seen it in other things. Like I've seen that bit done. It was in an episode of Sherlock where he has like a guy tied up and he calls the paramedics and reports like all these injuries that he's about to give him. Mm-hmm. Like it's a cool idea. But it, yeah, you're right. In terms of the arc and stuff, like it should have been him sticking, you know, to his principles.
Right. It's a weird arc for the character. It's also not terribly heroic. So it's like, it's a weird thing to have
right.
a hero do.
Right. That's what's funny about it. That's why I did like it, because it felt like a 90s thriller thing to do.
Right.
Of like, wow, that's very inappropriate.
A very dated response to this. It's like, it gets,
And like, I have no sympathy for Dennis Quaid, so it's fine. But it is still like, here's your chance to like, be a hero.
Yeah.
To be like better than him.
Right.
And no, they just put him down.
Yep.
It's a very weird thing.
Yeah. It's very weird.
This fucking movie. Do we know who wrote it?
No.
I guess I'll look it up.
Yeah, let's see who wrote this masterpiece, this solid nail biter from 1998.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. This would have been a really good movie in 1998.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't... It's an hour and 40 minutes, so it's just like...
David Lowery. Oh, he writes a lot of movies like this. He wrote...
Lakeview Terrace.
He wrote
Passenger
Obsessed.
57?
He wrote Passenger 57? Holy shit.
Okay, this guy's got mostly... Oh, The Three Musketeers.
Three Musketeers is awesome. He also wrote Money Train.
He wrote Star Trek V.
He wrote Tom and Huck.
Holy shit. The Lakeview Terrace is very telling. Because like, this is
well,
firmly...
It's like Obsessed as well. Obsessed is a very similar story.
Yeah. This is just very firmly in the Lakeview Terrace genre. Where it's like new homeowners, obsessive. Because that one, that's another one where I'm like, I don't know what the message was. I've only seen that movie once. I have to watch it again. Because Samuel Jackson is a racist cop, right? He just hates that they're an interracial couple.
Yeah. It's not bad. Basically, this man wrote Lakeview Terrace and he wrote Obsessed, which is essentially he took the film Unlawful Entry and wrote two different films based on it.
Right.
Unlawful Entry is about Kurt Russell and Madeline Stowe are this couple, and Ray Liotta is a cop that responds to a break-in at their house, and then he becomes obsessed with Madeline Stowe. So
I feel like
they took that movie. He took that movie, split it off into Lakeview Terrace, which is just the obsessed cop angle, and then Obsessed, which is the person is obsessed with your significant other angle.
I'm imagining like a movie studio being like, we accidentally bought like five Stalker scripts from this one guy,
mm-hmm. And they're all kind of the same.
Yeah, we're a little worried about him, but I guess let's just roll these out slowly over the next 20 years.
Yep,
like. Not sure what else to do. Or it's him, like his agent calling him like, when are we going to get another classic Stalker script from you? The studio loves your Stalker work. And he's like, all right, I guess I'll have another variation of house Stalker couple, creepy old guy. He should do one where it's an old couple and the creepy person's like a young person.
Yeah, do that movie.
He should reverse it, right?
Do Harold and Maude, only Bud Cort's a slobbering maniac.
Sure. Well, I just think like he seems to hate old people. Like
maybe.
He seems to be like old people are the bad people. I want to see one where it's like a young person going after old people.
Well, I mean, Obsessed is about Ali Larter stalking Idris Elba.
I haven't seen that one in a while.
And then Beyonce has to do battle with her.
That's pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, I could see that happening to the best of us, you know, mm-hmm. stalking Idris Elba.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Like, what does he do? Don't you want to see what he looks like when he sleeps at night?
I mean, kind of.
Yeah. Bet he's an angel. Dennis Quaid watches the couple fuck in this.
Oh, sure. He for sure does.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
There are two different PG-13 sex scenes, which is just embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's like, why even do this?
Because it's a 90s thriller.
I mean, I get the second time. And then I suppose if you go back and watch the movie
the first time
is right after they buy the house. And
They
fuck in the kitchen, which we learned later can be seen perfectly from the woods. So
right.
I suppose in the back of your mind, if you go back and watch it again, you could be like, yeah, I bet Dennis Quaid is watching them from the forest.
Right.
And the second time, he's definitely watching them.
I want this to be like... The Haunting of Hill House, where in every shot there's a Quaid.
There's a Quaid just
somewhere
slipped in. Yeah.
Under a desk, in a window, just a Quaid. It doesn't, even when he's at work, when they're in the car driving, like he's just peeking out the back seat.
In the back seat, yeah.
Yeah.
Just a pair of Quaid eyes.
Yep. Just staring into you.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I don't know if there's much else to talk about with this film.
Yeah, not too much else. I just can't stress enough how much I hated the most of the characters in this movie.
Yeah, the wife, I think she was great.
I wanted
great.
Her to be the only one left. Like,
yeah.
I was like, all these people need to die.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Just
and
leave
most,
her free
at least
to,
one
to,
of them does.
Yeah, at least the shitty friend died.
Yeah, and he dies pretty great.
Oh, yeah, like you said, he gets Scatman Crothered.
Yeah, and again, that's another scene where fucking Dennis Quaid is, he's able to do the creepiness so well where he, like, bums a cigarette from him,
mm-hmm.
and then he, like, lights his cigarette, and then he's like, I'll save mine for later.
Yeah.
And it's, like, really weird. Like, the delivery is so weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then he axes him. And then later, when the husband gets home from the hospital, Dennis Quaid is sitting there by the shed smoking the cigarette.
Yep.
It's like a great little moment. Like, there's a lot of great fucking Quaid performance in this. If you want to see some full-blown Quaid,
mm-hmm.
Like, this movie is worth the Quaid alone, I think.
Yeah, I think so. This movie's it's worth watching.
Yeah, I as a lover of thrillers, mm-hmm. You know, it's a genre we don't get enough of, and I think it's sort of past its prime, as evidenced by this movie.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's all sort of been done before.
Yeah, it's hard to be creative or bring anything new to it.
Yeah. But there is, like, it's nothing scarier than another human, because that's sort of like the scariest thing we have, like, mm-hmm. in reality. So movies like this, I think, are great for that reason. They're just not in style anymore.
Yeah, and there's something about, like, I mean, like, Fatal Attraction was a big hit, and there's something about, like, a person that just won't go away.
Right. I feel like there's, like, 20 of these made a year, but they're all direct to VOD, and half of them star, like, John Travolta.
Yeah. Oh, man, Domestic Disturbance.
Domestic Disturbance. John Travolta versus Vince Vaughn. That's a weird one. And that John Travolta is doing, he's playing a stalker in that Fred Durst movie.
Oh, man. Oh, I can't wait to. Oh, my God.
Pretty excited
cannot
for
wait
that.
To watch that movie.
Yeah, I mean, Devon Sawa, directed by Fred Durst, with featuring John Travolta as a stalker. What's not to love? Dressed in a Hawaiian shirt with a Caesar haircut.
Oh, my God.
We have, that's the thing. We have a bright future ahead of us for thrillers.
We do, yeah. We just get to see all these leading men from yesteryear playing these creepy old stalkers.
Pretty much. But again, Dennis Quaid, I don't think he was ever a leading man.
He was. He just, like, wasn't
very. Window was very brief.
He didn't have, like, an enormous box office smash.
Yeah, he feels, yeah. Like, his window is, like, a year, it feels like, where he was a leading man. Maybe two.
I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess this is no different than other actors. Like, Kevin Bacon is a guy who was, like, had a few years where it was like, let's put him in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's still great and he's still in things, but he's not, like, leading man Kevin Bacon. He's Cop Car Kevin Bacon. Another one about a creepy, creepy
oh,
dude.
Man. I got to watch Cop Car.
We should all
existed.
Watch Cop Car. Yeah. Yeah. It's a plentiful genre, the thriller. It's not going away.
Good, it should.
Much like Dennis Quaid.
Yeah, he's
it'll
not going
stay
anywhere.
With you. It'll watch you have sex.
He'll always be there for you.
He'll always be there. Yeah. All right. I guess that's all I have to say about The Intruder.
Yeah, I kind of don't have anything else to say.
Yeah, I don't regret watching it. If you like dumb thrillers, watch this movie. If you're, like, a huge Dennis Quaid fan, watch this movie. If you're Dennis Quaid, you probably don't have to watch this movie.
If you're Dennis Quaid, good job.
Good job, Dennis. If you're Randy Quaid, check out what your brother's up to. Be supportive,
mm-hmm.
Randy, who's listening.
Oh, he definitely is. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Dave, what do we got going on?
Tom, we got a Patreon, patreon.com.
Oh my gosh, we do.
Yeah, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. If you go check it out, we have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. We have various tiers. We have a tier where you can make us do our a custom episode if we just watched and watch whatever you want us to watch. What was the last one we did?
Last Witch Hunter?
Was it?
Maybe? No, wait, we did one last week.
Fuck.
I don't remember.
Oh my God.
Oh, it was Blind Fury.
Blind Fury. Check out those. Guys, check out our TeePublic store, teepublic.com/stores/gamefullyunemployed. We have all sorts of goddamn shirts.
A real handsome Fox Mulder poster.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. You can go on Apple Podcasts and you can rate and review.
Yeah, leave us a review. Let us know what kind of Quaid is your Quaid. Everybody gets their own Quaid.
Yeah, everybody say their favorite Quaid.
It's a Quaid for all seasons.
Yeah, let us know on Twitter. What's your favorite Quaid? Mm-hmm. Is there a Quaid role that we're forgetting?
Enemy Mine. Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah, there's so much Quaid.
A lot of Quaid.
There.
He's such a giver. He's had a rich career.
Yeah. And this is just one more beautiful addition.
One more gift he's given
us. To the legacy of Quaid.
The Intruder.
Check it out, maybe.
If you want to.
So, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, it's the perfect movie to sit and watch and eat something that is terrible for you.
Yes. Yes, for sure. I think I ate nachos while watching this.
Yeah. I ate some chips. Just, like, order a pizza and watch this thing.
Yeah, it's a good being sick.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to challenge you.
No.
But it might surprise you a little bit.
Yeah, it works. It's fine.
It's fine.